Numbers to chapter 13. Today I'd like to just think about a guy named Caleb. He doesn't share quite the star slot that Moses does or Joshua does or some of the other grand people of Scripture. He doesn't have that much real estate as far as his name even mentioned. It's only mentioned in a couple of chapters in the Scriptures, but he was quite a man of faith. And I think there's some great principles for us to learn from his life. So I'd like to have you watch in the Scriptures, if you have them, as we hear through the audio chapter 13 of the book of Numbers.
And the Lord spoke to Moses.
Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them.
So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now these were their names. From the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zakkur. From the tribe of Simeon, Shaphan, the son of Korah. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. From the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. From the tribe of Benjamin, Peltai, the son of Rephu. From the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodai. From the tribe of Joseph, that is, from the tribe of Manasseh, Gadah, the son of Susan. From the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gimelai. From the tribe of Asher, Sethu, the son of Michael. From the tribe of Naphtali, Nabai, the son of Vasa. From the tribe of Gad, Geuel, the son of Machir. These are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them,
Go up this way into the south, and go up to the mountains, and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many. Whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land.
Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron. Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him,
We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there.
The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan.
Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses.
Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.
But the men who had gone up with him said,
We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.
And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out.
The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature.
There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight.
And it's kind of hard to stand against the majority. You ever felt that? You ever stood where you're standing with something and everybody else is going another way? And we know the story. This is not something new, but he had to stand against that. How could he stand against that? Being one of the ones that... By the way, how many of the spies do you remember? Their names? You two, and you just heard them. That's what happens with the majority. The people who always did things for the Lord stood separately, and they came back with this great report. But Joshua and Caleb, they had to respond in a different way. In the next chapter, it's going to say they're going to tear their clothes, which they would do when they got upset, because the nation had said, we're not going to go in. I mean, the reason is because there were these other nations that were there, and it's a problem. I mean, if we go in, they'll take us out. They're giants there. We can't do it. They had grasshopper vision. Where they appeared like grasshoppers when they looked at the other people. They see us as grasshoppers and we see ourselves as grasshoppers. And there's no way we're going to do it. Been better if we went back to Egypt. In fact, let's get some people as leaders and let's go back to Egypt. Can you imagine? And they came and gave the bad report these guys did. And then it says, Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, Let's go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it. Boy, that's 180 degrees different from what the others are saying, isn't it? They said, If only we had died in the wilderness, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Well, that's a pretty strong statement, don't you think? In the face of this entire group of people, maybe as many as 2 million people who are going against them, these two guys stood out strong. And God spoke to Moses after the people had made clear what they were going to do. And God said, How long will this wicked community grumble against me? I've heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. As sure as I live, declares the Lord, I will do the very thing I heard you say. It's kind of dangerous to say things about to the Lord in grumbling. Listen to this. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with an uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. As for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them in to enjoy the land you have rejected. Boy, that's a major statement. Well, let me ask you, how did Caleb stand against the majority of the people? Because they're all against him. What do you do when everybody's against you in that kind of a situation? When you know you're doing what God says, but everybody else says, no, that's wrong. How do you stand against that? He stood by faith in the Lord. You see, that faith is not something you just pick up. Faith is something that grows. Faith is something that builds. Remember, he was born in slavery in Egypt. His formative years, his years as a child, were spent as the child of slaves. And remember, their slavery was not where they just served on the staff of somebody, but it was slavery where they were beaten to produce more. It was a difficult and hard slavery that they were in. The strata in Egypt was kind of simple. Pharaoh was at the top. The government officials, the vizier, the prime minister, the priest, and the nobles were the next tier. Then came the soldiers, the military. Then the scribes and the merchants and the craftsmen and the peasants. Finally, the lowest element in all of Egypt were the element that Joshua and his family and all the children of Israel were. They were slaves. No standing whatsoever. If they didn't do what you wanted, you'd kill them and nobody would question it. Because why would you question it? They were slaves. It was hard. But you see, these people had a hope. God had given a promise through his man Abram back in Genesis chapter 15. You don't need to turn there. Let me just read what it says. God speaking to him says, "Then he said to Abram, 'Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. Also, the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here.'" Notice why? "For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." But you know what? 400 years has passed. And guess what? It's complete. See, there comes a time in nations where if they choose to walk unrighteous ways, God says, that's enough. And He brings in other nations to overtake them. If you read history, that's the story of history. God will not let nations continue to do it. In fact, that's why He built nations, had nations come about, so that there could be some governance taking place, because Satan runs wild in governments. And so the people in Israel, of Israel in Egypt, cried out for a deliverer, because it was really hard. Moses came on the scene, you remember? After 40 years in the wilderness, he came back. His words were simple. Let him go. Pharaoh said, no way. We're not going to do it. Who is the Lord that I should obey Him? And so you get the major battle of the gods in Egypt. And for a year, 10 plagues came. And every single plague was aimed at one of the different gods. You know the frogs? Did you know that there was a god that had was manifested as a frog in Egypt? All the different ones were hitting at the gods that were in control of those different elements. And the Nile turned to blood red. Remember that? They couldn't drink from it. Fish died in it. Terrible situation going on. The Nile was considered a manifestation of one of the major gods. And Pharaoh began to learn who the gods were. They were nothing but the figment of men's imagination. At worst, demons at best. And they finally got delivered out of Egypt. And he got to watch all that. Don't you imagine that was an amazing event? They knew that God had promised they would get out. And now God was performing it. And then they got to the Red Sea. When they came here, they were on a little beach that had been pushed out because of the water that had flowed down a pass in the mountains that they had walked through. And Pharaoh's army was coming against them. And they had nothing they could do. And you know what Caleb saw. Caleb heard the words from Moses, "Be still and see the salvation of the Lord." And he watched the waters part and they walked through. People were murmuring, but Caleb saw God's sovereignty. He saw God's hand take care of that and destroy the Egyptian army that was coming after them. Can you imagine? They were the most powerful military force in the day. They were the superpower of the day, and God handily destroyed their military, at least a major segment of it. Love that picture, don't you? I wonder if we get to see something like that when we get to heaven. Then they came right after that. They started murmuring because the water at the place they had camped was bitter. They couldn't drink it. So they were grumbling at Moses, "What are we to drink?" And they just started murmuring and murmuring again, and Moses took care of it. But you know what Caleb saw? Caleb saw that God was protecting the people. Yeah, they had difficulties, but God took care of it and protected them so nobody would get sick. See, whenever you have difficulties, because that's part of life, have you noticed that? You have an option. You can bellyache, complain, gripe. There are other words we could use, but you understand the idea, right? Or you can go to the Lord and say, "Lord, this is the situation we have. I don't have the resources to take care of it. I need your help. Would you please provide something?" And God did. Because you know what happened? Moses asked the Lord to do it, and he did it. They didn't have any food. And so the people said, let's go back to Egypt because there we had food. Why did you bring us out here to die? And you know what Caleb watched? Caleb watched God provide food for them every single day. And it was the best food around. Can you imagine? It probably was so concentrated with amino acids and the things that your body needs that they had everything they needed just in this. But then they complained again because they got to a place there was no water. You know what Caleb saw? Caleb watched as Moses went up and hit a rock and water started gushing out of the rock enough to provide for 2 million people plus their animals. That's not going to be a little stream or trickle. It's going to be a good flowing bit of water. We don't know if that's the rock or not, but the people who have been up close to that rock tell us that, you see the person is standing right down here? Tell us that crevice in the rock was caused by water. We can't get there now because Saudi Arabia doesn't let us get over there. Very interesting. And in the year that he was there in the wilderness, God gave the Ten Commandments. He saw that. God come down on Mount Sinai. He heard God speak the Ten Commandments to them. He saw the Shekinah glory cloud of God as they built the tabernacle, reside over that. At night it was like a pillar of fire. In day it was like a big cloud that kept the sun off of them so they wouldn't bake in the desert. He just saw God taking care of them left and right, all the way through. And then finally came this major test. He was one of the leaders of Judah. Because that's who God said to choose. A leader from each of the 12 tribes. And so he's one of the leaders and he goes off on this journey. He's 40 years old. Joshua's 40. That's about the age of the guys that are going out. Who's 40 here? Not older than 40. Who's 40? Well, 41. That'll work. Yeah. All right, so they're all going to be about Brad's age when they go out. And that's going to be these 12 guys. And as they go, they come back with a report, and Caleb had to stand against the majority. And he did it by faith in the Lord. Do you understand how his faith was built? Do you know how you can build your faith? Faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing by the Word of God. But what does the Word of God tell you? It tells you how to operate in faith. And you know how you operate in faith? You meet a problem, and what do? You go to the Lord. And you meet another problem, and you go to the Lord. And you meet another problem, and you go to the Lord. And you meet another problem, and you go to the Lord. You ask the Lord, what are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to deal with this, Lord? I don't know what to do. Would you direct me? And you build your faith. Faith. People think faith just happens. It doesn't. It's something that grows in you. Remember Jesus said to his disciples one time that he was asleep in a boat. They were freaking out because the water was coming in, even splashing him, and he was so dead tired that he didn't wake up. And they finally get him and shake him and get him awake and say, we're drowning. He gets up and says to the wind and the water, be still. And he looked at him and said, oh, you of little faith. Faith is something that develops and grows. He'd had it grown through difficulties and struggles. He was a brave man among a bunch of cowards. He was assured when these other guys were skeptical about anything that could possibly take place. Listen to this. It was not the great walled cities nor the great height of the giants that kept the people from taking their inheritance in the land. It was their own poor relationship with the Lord that brought this disaster. Do you hear that? It wasn't the problems that they saw. It was their relationship with the Lord. Because they didn't think God could do it. Even though He proved Himself over and over and over again, they didn't have any relationship with this God to have this put deep in their hearts where they could stand. Caleb and Joshua did. See, the ten spies thought of themselves in relationship to their enemies. They were scared for their safety. The two spies saw themselves in relationship with God. Their chief concern was following His commands so His promise could come to pass. What's your chief concern? Too many people, it's just going along with the crowd because you don't want to rock the boat. Doing what everybody says because that's what everybody does. Not standing with what God says. We need to stand where God says. God spoke in Numbers chapter 14 and said, not one of you will enter the land I swore with an uplifted hand to make your home. Isn't that amazing? God took it upon Himself. You know what He's saying when He says with an uplifted hand? He's doing like they did in courts. They've done in courts today. They do in courts. You remember what happens when you're in a court? You place your hand on the Bible. You raise your right hand. And you say, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth? When the President of the United States, when the Senators and the Congressmen in the House of Representatives, when the Governors, when people are put into service in our country, what do? Put their hand on the Bible, and raise their right hand. You know what they're doing? They're taking an oath. God says, listen, He took an oath that they were going to have this land as their land. You think that's pretty strong? And Joshua and Caleb, the only ones who understood that. They were going to lead the next generation in. But God said they were going to have to wait for 40 years, because 40 years, one day, One of the 40 days, 1 year for every day is how they had to wait. 40 years. That's a long time. I've been waiting 10 years for something. And I think that's a long time. They had to wait 40 years. 40 years. But you know what? When the 40 years was over, in his mature years, Caleb still trusts the Lord. Take your Bible and turn with me over to the book of Joshua in chapter 14. It's next time we run into Caleb. Joshua chapter 14. Now, he went through all the stuff up to chapter 14. He's just not mentioned. But in chapter 14, we run into him again. Verse 6 reads this way. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah, remember what tribe he's from? Judah. Then the children of Judah came, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have fully followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke the word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am strong this day, as the day Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain which the Lord spoke in the day, as you heard in that day, how the Anakim were there, and that their cities were great and fortified, that it may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron. You know what Hebron is? Hebron's the place where Abraham was buried. Hebron's the place where Sarah was buried. Hebron's the place where Isaac was buried, where Jacob was taken by Joseph back up to be buried, where Joseph said to take his bones when they came out of Egypt to be buried. That's Hebron. Jerusalem's in Hebron. It's the land where Judah's going to be. Some of the best land in Israel. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Isn't that neat? Now look over to chapter 15. Verse 13 and 14. "Now Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a share among the children of Judah according to the command of the Lord to Joshua." And he tells about giving the land at Hebron. And it says in verse 14, "And Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there." He did what Israel couldn't do. You know, as you read about the other tribes, they were supposed to get rid of everybody that was there, remember? And it says the other ones didn't. They didn't either because they couldn't militarily, or they didn't most of the time because they were lazy. They lacked the will to go forth and do it. But he followed fully. So, the Scripture tells us that all the stuff that's written here in the Old Testament is written for us, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. This Caleb is a guy who's an example of that. We can learn a lot from his life. Let me just give you a couple things we can learn very fast. The Lord said, "Because my servant Caleb has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land." Catch those two phrases. First, he has a different spirit in him. What does that mean? And he followed me fully. You know what that means? Well, having a different spirit in him meant he wasn't like everybody else. He was different. He stood out different. Let me tell you, the people in the Scriptures who God uses are the people who stand out as different. Look at it from cover to cover. It's the people who are different. There's so much this desire to conform and not stand out and not be what people can see. We don't want to be criticized. We don't want to have people think something bad about us. Hey, it's these people that God uses who are willing to stand out and be different. He was a different spirit. And he followed the Lord fully. That means he had completely surrendered his life over to the Lord. He didn't matter. Whatever happened, he was going to do what God said. What if he got killed? Doesn't matter. What if they beat him to death? It doesn't matter. You can have all the what ifs you want. He was fully committed to the Lord. Let me say, that's what a person of faith is. They're a person of a different spirit who don't join in with everybody else on what they're doing, and they're a person who's totally committed to the Lord. Because of that, the Lord and his Caleb's whole way, that spared him from discouragement. Do you think it'd been rough being 40 years waiting for something? Couldn't you be discouraged? I mean, some of us have had to wait for a long time for stuff, and it's easy to be discouraged, isn't it? Look what he said. I wholly followed the Lord my God, so Moses swore to me that day, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance for your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And he stood on that. And it doesn't matter that it took 40 years. Actually, it was 45 years. You know what the extra 5 years was? They had to move in, take land. There were 3 campaigns that they did in the land. It took time to do all those things. So now he's 85. And the Lord also spared him from death. I mean, he says, I am this day 85 years old. You know what happened to the other 10 spies, by the way? Yeah, they were dead. You know how fast they were dead? The next day after God said they're not supposed to go. They couldn't go into the land. The spies died. All 10. You know why? God wanted to make sure that people understand they were going against God's way. And their lives were over. I don't know all that took place, but it was a situation. But Caleb wasn't that way. Why? He was different. And why? He wholly followed the Lord. Those are the two things. And because he was different and wholly followed the Lord spared him from disbelief. Because he really figured that God was going to do this. Look what he says. Now therefore, I'm 85. I've been here for a long time. It's time to go. Give me that mountain. He didn't take a plane that was easy to get, you know. He goes after the hard place where the giants were, where it was going to be hard to get through, and he wanted that challenge at 85. I love it. He believed. Now, his faith and walk with the Lord, which included these two things, which first of them was what? The element of faith, the first one was? You know what it was? He's willing to be different, right? He was willing to stand up. Didn't have to follow the crowd. And the second was? Only follow the Lord. With those two things, he was spared from discouragement, death, and defeat. Yeah, that different spirit. That's a person of faith. What a great example for us. The Scripture says, now faith, read it with me. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Means you don't see it yet. That's okay. If God said it, you can just trust on it. When's it going to come? I can't tell you that. I'm not in charge of that. I just know it's going to happen. And we can trust God. See, God tells us that the just live by faith. He told us that in Habakkuk. He told us that in Romans. He told us that in Galatians. And he told us that in Hebrews. If you learn that passage, say it with me. The just shall live by faith. Say it. The just shall live by faith. You know 4 verses now in the Scriptures. We're to live by faith. That's how we live our life. And when you live by faith, you're going to stand out as different. People won't understand you. It won't be what they think. But see, you'll see all your problems as things for God to deal with. And they're not really all that big if God's going to deal with them. You won't have grasshopper vision. You'll have proper vision. Because you'll see God for who He is. I'm going to sing a song for you. We'll close up. This is a song. And I'm going to teach it to you, okay? because it's a neat little chorus, and I need you to sing it with me. So listen to it. This is how it sounds. This is what how it goes. Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and looks to God alone, laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done, and cries, it shall be done, and cries, it shall be done, laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. Now you repeat the line. I'm going to sing one line. You repeat it after me, okay? Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees. Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees. And looks to God alone. And looks to God alone. Laughs at impossibilities. Laughs at impossibilities. And cries, it shall be done. 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 Laughs at impossibilities. Laughs at impossibilities. And cries, it shall be done. And cries, it shall be done. Now, you repeat it after me one more time, okay? And then we're going to sing it all together, right? Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees. Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees. And looks to God alone. Laughs at impossibilities, and cries, it shall be done, and cries, it shall be done, and cries, it shall be done, laughs at impossibilities, and cries, it shall be done, and cries, it shall be done. All right, let's try singing it together, okay? It's not hard, right? Very simple thing. Here we go. Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and looks to God alone. Laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. And cries, it shall be done. And cries, it shall be done. Laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. One more time. Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and looks to God alone. Laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. And cries, it shall be done. And cries, it shall be done. Laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. Thank you, Lord, that you let us walk in faith. Walk different from the rest of humanity because we know you. We thank you. We don't have to complain when difficulties come about because we can take those to you. We thank you we don't have to complain when time seems like it's standing still because we know you're working out things for our betterment. We thank you, Lord, that you're in charge of things and we can just trust you. Thank you, Lord, that you allow us to see the possibilities. Thank you that you allow us many times to be stranded on your omnipotence. Thank you that you've made us to be of different spirit, to be people who follow you fully. By your grace, may we walk in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.